the Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's going to be down at least for another week. He still had some tightness, had some swelling in the knee when he reported Sunday. Had similar symptoms yesterday, took him for an MRI. So there's not only knee bruising, but there's some sprain of the knee itself. And we will reevaluate him a week from today.
And that is Red Sox manager John Farrell on Eduardo Nunez just a short time ago over at Fenway Park as the Red Sox welcome in the visiting Oakland A's, the randomly hot Oakland A's. We've won five straight. Just heard that there in the top of the Hub headlines with Tim McCone. So for a three-game series, and we're going to touch on this, well, how the A's almost inadvertently kicked off John Farrell's, I think, biggest move of the season. It is the Baseball Reporters. It is Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati once again tonight alongside Tim McCone and you. If you want to join the show, it's 617-779-0985. Over the next 60 minutes, it's about all things baseball. Didn't really touch on much of that with the Felger and Maz show today. And now that the Red Sox are back in action tonight and there's things going on, like, well, Eduardo Nunez, there's things to talk about with this team. Eduardo Nunez, as John Farrell just said, dealing with a knee sprain and a bruise. He's out for at least a week. I always say this time and again with this team, anytime there's an injury and they talk about it, you got to take it with a grain of salt because I don't really believe much of what comes out of anyone's mouth. So to say that it's at least a week, possibly the remainder of the regular season, something to keep an eye on here because he's been arguably one of the most important pieces to this offense over the last couple of months or since they acquired him. I mean, since Nunez was acquired from the San Francisco Giants earlier this summer, he's hit .319, 8 home runs, 27 RBI, 22 runs scored in 37 games. And yes, the Red Sox still hold, it's now a 3-game lead over the Yankees. I feel good about it. I'm not worried about the division whatsoever, but him being out of the offense for any stretch here, it could be a problem because Nunez has been one of the sparks. He has added a lot to this team since they got him. That's putting it as simply as possible. And if he's out for any extended period of time, or he's not going to be the same player come playoff time, that's going to be a problem for this team. And yet another red flag that we would have for the Red Sox heading into the playoffs. But for as much as I'm concerned about this, and as much as I, along with others, Jimmy Stewart, who is producing this show as always, are quick to bash manager John Farrell, I did want to talk about this tonight with the A's in town because for as much as we bash John Farrell, and it's easy to do, especially the way he's handling the bullpen and talks like an automaton at times, I'm going to give credit to John Farrell right off the top here because John Farrell's best move and biggest move of the year happened the last time these two teams met back in May when the Red Sox were taking on the A's in Oakland. You got to go back to the date was May 20th. Where Drew Pomeranz was on the mound for the Red Sox on a Saturday game in Oakland, and he pitched just 4 innings. And Drew Pomeranz, if you don't recall, looked like he didn't even want to be there. He quit. Drew Pomeranz quit in this game. He had given up a couple of runs, one earned through four innings, and he just it was bad Pomeranz, which, you know, you're probably used to at this point, laboring 95 pitches early through 4 innings. It's like this. It's one of those this effing guy performances from Drew Pomeranz. And then he goes back to the dugout, does Pomeranz. And John Farrell told him, you know what? I'm done with this. I ain't watching any more of this crap. You're done. You're not going out for the fifth. And the Nesson cameras ended up showing what was a heated exchange between the two, manager John and Drew Pomeranz. And Pomeranz walked away as Farrell was still John at him, which was also a bad look for Pomeranz. Like, what? Who the hell do you think you are? As much as I, again, don't respect John Farrell all that much, and I question whether or not guys in that dugout do, and that clubhouse, there's still chain of command. He's still the one in charge. Turn around and deal with it. Get undressed by him. Figuratively. And after the game, Farrell told reporters in Oakland, it was just a disagreement, and he handled it like a professional. And he said the quote, and we don't have the audio because it's going back months, but he said he didn't want to come out of the game, so that was a discussion that we had. It was settled. And Pomeranz said afterwards as well, I like to stay in the game as long as I can. Sometimes it's not up to me. I threw a lot of pitchers as well, so it's not like there's that much to say. And this was also a game, and I remember Maz going off about it at the time here on this very program, There was a little dribbler that went to Pomeranz, and he gave up on the play. It's like Pomeranz, his body language, showed that he did not want to be there. So Farrell lit him up, and rightfully so. And Drew Pomeranz, since then, has been a completely different pitcher. And all the credit in the world to Manager John, a guy, again, that we, I think, collectively around here, probably don't want to be the manager of the Red Sox anymore, and especially if they bow out early or get swept again in the first round like they did against the Indians. This was a win. We'll put this in the win column for John Farrell in 2017. This was the best thing that he did, was light up Drew Pomeranz back on May 20th, the last time that the Red Sox took on the Oakland A's. See the little symmetry there? A's back in town, first time they're playing each other since May. So, again, as much as we bash the guy, this was a win for him. Because now, if you look at Pomeranz, what he's, I mean, 15 wins. His last outing against Tampa Bay over the weekend. I mean, it's safe to say that Drew Pomeranz has been dominant. He has. And last September, the guy made four starts, and he managed to pitch past the fifth inning once. Once. You can't count on Drew Pomeranz. Now, Pomeranz? And who knows, maybe it ends up working out like how Rick Porcello did last year, and he's the Cy Young Award winner, but he gets to the playoffs, and in his one start, he pees all over himself, essentially. And maybe that's how it works out for Pomeranz. A guy who has precious little playoff experience, came out of the pen last year, looked okay in doing so, but as a starter, we'll see. But for right now, and looking at how he's, you know, the way he's really pitched, since that incident in Oakland back in May, well, he's your second starter. He is to me. It's Chris Sale, Drew Pomeranz, and then it's time to Fist come playoff time. I take him over Rick Porcello. But what he's been able to do, and the fact that he's been able to go deep into games, credit to Manager John. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you want to join the show tonight. We'll also be talking to Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports coming up here in the second segment. Always good to talk to Jared and see what's going on with him and talk Sox. I want to see his what he thinks about Eduardo Nunez and how long he might be out, what that will mean to the Red Sox offense going forward. Because that, again, is something to keep an eye on and something to be concerned about, I think. Like, there's a few things that aren't going to change in terms of red flags with me with this team. And as much as I just gave credit to Manager John Farrell, well, the way that he handles the bullpen and whether or not he would end up deferring to, say, Rick Porcello as his third starter come playoff time over Drew Pomeranz, that's a red flag for me. I don't trust the manager. I still think that there's institutionalized stupidity when it comes to the Red Sox. Even when they try to cheat and steal signals, they have to do it in a way that they get instantly caught because they have a trainer wearing an Apple Watch right in the clear of day so that the Yankees cameras and the Yankees can pick up on it. Like, there's the way that they run the bases, red flag number two. It's institutionalized stupidity. You can just, it's all encompassing. But in that, there's red flags, little red flags in there. The way they run the bases, the way the bullpen is managed. Whether or not I actually trust anyone in that bullpen outside of Craig Kimbrell, because frankly, I don't. And if David Price is added to that bullpen, okay, I would like him in that position over, say, a Matt Barnes or a Joe Kelly. But really, gun to your head, do you trust anyone outside of Craig Kimbrell? Because I don't. So those kind of things are going to continue. And if Nunez is hurt here and the knee doesn't respond the next couple of weeks here, and they start to dip a couple of games offensively even further, you know, the last time they go out, they only score one run, Rick Porcello, like that's another red flag. I did hear on Zoe and Beadle here earlier today here on the Sports Hub that Mark Bertrand felt that one of the issues that he feels like for this team come playoff time and why you can't rely on them and having any kind of a deep run is that you're looking at a potential playoff rotation that has to, you have to have the conversation, who do you want, Doug Fister or Rick Porcello? And because of that, you can't trust, you know, this team making any kind of a deep run, even if they got out of the first round, because, well, outside of really Chris Sale, who do you trust in the rotation? I do. Even going into last postseason, you know, how can you not trust Rick Porcello in the season that he ended up having? Drew Pomeranz, I know he hasn't done come playoff time, but I trust Pomeranz. I have to try to be positive about it. And the same with Doug Fister. I don't think that Doug Fister being your third starter is a problem. I don't. I don't look at that as a negative. Doug Fister has been solid for this team down the stretch. And I'll go back to the last time that the Giants won the World Series, because really, outside of Madison Bumgarner, well, everything else kind of felt like, you know, decent to halfway decent in that Giants rotation. As long as you had Bumgarner, who was pitching the lights out, well, the rest, it really didn't matter what the names were. As long as they could give you a serviceable outing and get to maybe the fifth or sixth inning, and then you can rely on your bullpen. That's how that Giants team ended up winning that World Series there. They had the one stud. You have the one stud in Chris Sale and really a bunch of question marks. So that's a positive for me there. I don't think it's, you know, that's something you can, for now, rely on. I know that's not a guy that's done it come playoff time in Chris Sale, but for what he's given you this year, a Cy Young caliber type of season, I trust him, and the rest, they can be question marks. It'll be all right. But Drew Pomeranz, his turnaround, that's because of the manager. It is. As much crap as we give John Farrell around here, and rightfully so. That one he got right. So with the A's in town, I thought it would be time to tip the old proverbial cap to manager John for lighting up Drew Pomeranz back in May. Because you know what? It worked. You got your second solid starter out of him. That's your second starter come playoff time. All because manager John said, not on my watch. You're not going to try against this crap Oakland team today? Please, you're not going back out there. And it changed him. It did. Your thoughts on this, 617-779-0985. If you want to talk about the job that Manager John did to Drew Pomeranz, how it turned around, have at it. 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Jared Carabas as well right after this.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wanted to pass this along. Maz wanted to thank any one of you who have reached out to him behind the scenes about the loss of his mother this week. Just wanted to bring that up again. He wanted to pass that along. So for any of you longtime listeners to the Felger and Maz program and this show as well, if you reached out to Maz, believe me, he appreciates it very, very much. But I am here, and if you want to join the show as well, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. I promise we'll get to your calls coming up here as we hear about Eduardo Nunez, this knee injury. Sounds like he's going to be on the shelf for a minute. And started off the show talking about what I think is the best job that John Farrell has done all year. Again, we bash him. We're quick to do that, and rightfully so. But him going in on that ass when it comes to Drew Pomeranz, the last time that these two teams met, the A's and the Red Sox, the best thing he's pulled off all last year. In fact, I want to get this guy's opinion on it. Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports. He joins us here in the AT&T Expert Hotline. Hello, Cousin Jared.
What's going on, Big Jim? How are we doing?
Doing excellent. So, I don't know if you just heard, open the show talking about how A's in town. Last time these two teams met back in May, you had manager John lighten up Pomeranz after a hideous start, which subsequently turned his season around. And I'll ask you, was that Farrell's biggest accomplishment thus far in 2017?
Yes, and I would also like to take some credit for that. I think that's when the Drew thing started. He's been on a run unlike any other run that I've ever seen from Drew Pomeranz in his entire major league career. But yeah, this is a guy that we were talking about this earlier about how if you look at, you know, how the Red Sox playoff rotation would shape up, the three-man rotation today, if you were talking about this in spring training, you would be talking about Chris Sale is obviously your ace. And then Drew Pomeranz is your number two. That would be like a tongue-in-cheek type thing. And Doug Fister wasn't even a thought at that point because you had a three-headed monster of Sale, David Price, and Rick Porcello. And now the conversation right now is, do you give a postseason start to Doug Fister over Rick Porcello? And I think most Red Sox fans would agree that if the postseason started today, you're giving the ball to Doug Fister in game three. So, you know, for as scrutinized as Pomeranz was, and most of it was merited, I mean, he did have a very underwhelming start to his Red Sox tenure. He's absolutely deserved the ball in a game two type scenario. And I think, you know, I don't think it should be looked at as this laughable scenario where it's like, you know, Sale and Pomeranz and Fister, because that's not what you would hope for. But looking at how they've performed in the opportunities that they've been given, I think you should feel pretty good about that.
And so, yeah, you know, you mentioned Doug Fister, and I've been on this now for a while. And initially, I admit, it was kind of a gag because I'm a child, and I get a kick out of the name, and it's easy to say, hey, I would love to see the Red Sox fist in the playoffs. But outside of that one hideous start about a month ago, the spot start at home against Cleveland, he's been solid. And so do you trust him ultimately right now as the third starter come the postseason?
I guess I don't know if I trust him, you know. I think if you sort of go into game three of the postseason and the Red Sox, it's an elimination game and he gets lit up, then you kind of say, well, you know, you kind of get what you pay for. He was, you know, a waiver pickup. He helped get you there, but can you really depend on him to pitch in big games? He has postseason experience, but I think right now it's sort of, you have to roll with your best hand, and he's certainly one of them. And since he's taken over for David Price in that rotation on July 28th. He's got a 279. Pomeranz has a 276. And no one else is really close to those two guys. Even Chris Sale hasn't really lived up to, you know, what we expected from him from April and May. So, yeah, I think that he's certainly pitched his way into a postseason start, or at least to you know, in the division series. But if he's not able to go out there and dominate in a game three, can you really hold it against the guy? Not really, given, you know, what the expectations were when he got here.
Eduardo Nunez news tonight that he's going to be on the shelf for at least a week or more with this knee injury. How big of a hit is it to the Red Sox offense if he's going to be out for a while?
It's big, but it shouldn't be. And that's the most infuriating part about this, is that, you know, you look at this Red Sox lineup, and there isn't one guy who has an OPS over 800. There's not one guy. And I'm looking at guys like Mookie Betts. I'm looking at guys like Xander Bogaerts, who haven't come close to, you know, the seasons that we know that they're capable of having. And, you know, a guy like Eduardo Nunez, who got here at the end of July, is not supposed to be dependent. It's not supposed to be a big blow if Eduardo Nunez goes on the disabled list, but it is because of A, how well he's performed since he got here, and B, how underwhelming the performances from everyone else have been. Like, Hanley Ramirez is another name that should be looped into the disappointing guys from this season. So, yeah, it is a big blow, but again, it shouldn't be.
Talking to Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports. It's the Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Talk about a little bit of what's going on throughout the rest of the league. The Cleveland Indians are going for their 20th win tonight. It feels like they're going to end up the number one seed in the American League, maybe all in Major League Baseball. But is this ultimately a good thing for the Red Sox, which would mean they would take on the Houston Astros in that first round and not have to face the Indians right out of the gate?
Yes and no. I think it's definitely good if you can avoid the Indians, but obviously it would appear that the road to the World Series goes through Cleveland regardless. So, I mean, if you want to take a shot at them, it would be better in a best of seven than one of those quick five-game series. But if you do draw Houston in the first round, and I don't know why not enough people are talking about this, but the Red Sox schedule concludes with four games against the Astros,
right,
and you would go into a five-game series with them. So, at minimum, you're seeing them in seven straight games. And if the series goes the distance and you're playing the Astros for nine consecutive games, which is kind of bizarre to think about, but I guess that is the lesser of two evils. If you know, you're talking about Chris Sale and his struggles against the Indians and how hot the Indians are right now, they're clearly the better team than Houston. So, yeah, you would want to draw the Astros, but that whole scenario, potentially playing them in nine consecutive games, that could be problematic.
So I mentioned this earlier too, because I heard Beatle Mark Bertrand talk about this on his show today, in that, you know, because you're looking at, I'm going back to the Red Sox here, when you look at, hey, you have to have the debate on who your third starter come playoff time would be, whether it's Rick Porcello or Doug Fister or maybe even Eduardo Nunez, like, that's a problem. And because of that, because of the lack of the, what he looks at, I guess, is the pitching depth outside of Chris Sale in this rotation, that's one of the reasons he thinks the team won't go that deep. Well, I'll say the team that immediately comes to mind that wasn't that deep in terms of the rotation for me, that was able to win the World Series just a handful of years ago, was the 2014 Giants, because you had Madison Bumgarner, and he was lights out, but you had, you know, the ghost of Tim Hudson, a washed-up Tim Lincecum, and there was the other couple of names that come immediate to mind. But I don't know. I think as long as Chris Sale is on, they'll go as far as Chris Sale goes.
Right, and even just the Cleveland Indians last year. You know, they lose Danny Salazar, they lose Carlos Carrasco, and they have their ace in Corey Kluber, but people forget that Kluber was injured going into the postseason. He wasn't even healthy enough to start game one of that series. He started game two, and then you had Trevor Bauer going game one, and you had Josh Tomlin in game three. So they sort of had their number one, their number four, and number five starters, and then they made it to game seven of the World Series against the team that was favored to win the whole thing since spring training. So it can be done as long as you have your horse, which Kluber was. I mean, he went into game seven with an ERA under one. But, and that was his first time in the postseason. So there's a lot of mirrors there for, you know, optimism. You know, Chris Sale, this is his first postseason. We don't know what he's going to be like in October, but I don't think that you should hold that against him because of the Kluber example.
Right.
If you're a Cy Young caliber pitcher, some guys can pitch well in that scenario, some guys can't. And with Chris Sale, I kind of look at him as, you know, this guy came to Boston and everyone else, every other superstar that's come here besides maybe Manny Ramirez has failed immediately and then adapted afterwards. Chris Sale has been his super. He's honestly had like the best year of his career, and that started the second that he got here. So I would sort of take that as, can he pitch it well in the postseason when all the attention is on him? Yeah, I would say that we have reason to believe that he can, and we just saw a team go with their ace and their number four and their number five, and Drew Pomeranz certainly, you know, may have come into this season as a four or a five, but he hasn't pitched like one since about mid-May. So, yeah, it might not be the names that you would hope for with David Price and Rick Porcello, but the numbers to me say that you could certainly go into a series with, you know, Pomeranz as your two and Fister as your three, and then in a seven-game series with Porcello as your four, feeling pretty good.
Starting nine, back tonight, the new show on Facebook that you're doing. I also saw you tweet about a major announcement regarding the Section 10 podcast coming up next week. I don't know if you would like to give a hint to some of the baseball reporters audience right now.
Yeah, so actually on starting nine, our guest this week is Mike Clevenger. He's pitching for the Indians tomorrow, so that's when they would be going for 21 straight victories if they can pull off the win tonight. So hopefully, you know, they break the A's record, and then he comes on. We do a little interview with him. But our big announcement for Section 10 is actually multiple announcements. We have, let's just say that we're adding something to the mix.
Okay.
You know, we're adding something to the mix. So it's going to be a little bit of a change for our listeners, but it's definitely going to be a nice little surprise for Red Sox fans.
All right, Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports, the Section 10 podcast as well. Follow him on Twitter. You want to get those updates and have that the big news about the Section 10 podcast. Major announcement, as he refers to it.
The rumor and innuendo, Jim, that I've heard on this is pretty good.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to run right in there right after the Hub headlines here with McCone and get that. And also check out the Starting Nine show on Facebook as well. Jared, good to talk to you. Enjoy New York. I'll talk to you next time.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports. Again, follow him on Twitter, @Jared_Carrabas.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Nunez dealing with a knee sprain and a bruise. Going to be out for at least a week. And I can't help myself. I have to put air quotes around that as I say it. Even if I was home, I was talking out loud, I would put the air quotes around it because I don't believe the Red Sox at all when it comes to injuries. Week, possibly the remainder of the regular season. Sounds bad. And I think this is a hit, or it's obviously a hit to this team's offense because this guy has been one of the key cogs since they got him earlier this summer. 319, 8 home runs, 27 RBI, 22 runs scored in 37 games since they picked him up. It's unfortunate that Eduardo Nunez is that important, but this is the hand that they've been dealt. And Eric in Waltham has a thought on this. You're first up here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Jim. I just wanted to get your opinion on, based on what you've seen with your own eyes, I think Eduardo Nunez and third baseman Devers, they are going to, how do you think they would project statistic-wise in next year with the Red Sox?
Oh, Eric, don't make me do math, man. When it comes to me with math, I work in radio for a reason. I literally still count with my fingers, Tim McCone. I'm not proud of that. I barely graduated high school. I work in radio for a reason. I just know with Nunez, Devers, Benintendi, I mean, the way that's looked the last couple of months, those three completely changed the offense, really. And he's been important to it. I know he was just essentially picked up as a warm body, but Nunez matters.
No, I'm with you. He's been a spark plug since the minute he got here. So to lose him now for more than a week, and it sounds like it could be extended amount of time, is going to be an issue for the Sox.
Where are you on the rotation come playoff time? Are you prepared to fist, or is it because Rick Porcello coming off the Cy Young award winning year? You know, maybe that manager John should defer to him because of that. But it has been an ugly year for him. And it's not just the win-loss record. The fact that he gives up a million hits, he feels like it's good for a couple of home runs a game. I know it could be fool's gold. The people that can make an argument against it, Fister was just like Nunez, picked up as a warm body. But he, too, has mattered, at least to the rotation.
So I'm actually with you. I know on paper it certainly doesn't look great what they have going into the playoffs. But I think their starting rotation is going to be fine in the playoffs. You know, you've got Sale at the top. I go Pomeranz, too, with you. And the way he's been pitching of late, I think that's a solid option. And then Pfister as your number three is probably the way to go. And while we certainly didn't expect to say that 5 weeks ago or whatever it is, it's hard to argue with the success he's had over the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's looked good. You know, there's really only been one dud start, really, over the last six for him. So, yeah, it's time to Pfist come the playoff. I understand. Look, this is a tough time right now in terms of being able to talk a lot of deep, heavy Red Sox baseball right now. We're at the ass end of the season. People like myself, I feel like, are just in the mode of hurry up and get here playoffs. Like, they're a lock for the playoffs. I'm not worried about the division all that much. But as Jared Carrabas in the last segment pointed out, as of right now, look, with the way that the Indians are rolling, and they're going to likely end up the number one seed. Now the Red Sox are going to end up with the Houston Astros, which I'm okay with. At least it's a team that you'll get some familiarity with, because Jared was right to bring this up. The last four games of the year at home, or just really on the schedule as a whole, are against the Astros. So you get to feel them out a little bit before you get into that series. The Indians, I think what you're seeing with this team, they're as locked in as you will see a baseball team. This reminds me of what you saw with the Colorado Rockies in 2007. They were a buzzsaw. Granted, there was a lot of layoff there between the NLCS and the World Series. So that caught up with them. And the Red Sox that year were a juggernaut as well. But this Indians team, I would be shocked if they didn't end up getting to the World Series. My expectations for the Red Sox weren't all that high in the first place. I thought the David Ortiz thing, him being done this year, was going to matter. Not as much as it did at times, and as much as the offense has looked wonky and as inconsistent as it has been. But, you know, if they can get out of that first round this year, I will be happy with just that. My expectations really weren't all that high, and especially after Price went down, as much as I've mocked him, it was a decent regular season for him last year. They've missed his presence up until Pfister's been able to really be somebody you can rely on here in the last six, seven starts for him, give or take. I'd be happy with one round. Now, if they get swept again, manager John Farrell, he should be out. I don't think that'll happen. It'll probably take some kind of epic collapse or some kind of epic meltdown a la Grady Little to have him lose his job, but that should be considered. So, considering that there's really not all that much to dive into with this team right now as we collectively wait for the playoffs, let's listen back to some sound from this weekend that really just shows how much Jerry Remy means to the Red Sox broadcast booth. Not just Remy, but Dennis Eckersley as well. This was something that I thought was so hilarious that Deadspin rightfully picked it up, in which they were telling tales of times at Studio 54. When I say the word Studio 54, Tim McCone, you definitely don't know what Studio 54
is. No, that was the club. I got that. That reference.
You
yeah.
do. All right, yes. A legendary nightclub in New York that really was only there, I think, for a handful of years. Do yourself a favor, watch some documentaries on the place sometime, or Steve Rubell, and I think Ian Schrager was the other guy who started that place, and how shady it was, and how much money that they weren't clearing with the government, and all the dealings going on behind the scenes. Just fascinating. But that was the place to be. It was models, it was celebrities, it was rock stars, and apparently Jerry Remy and Dennis Eckersley, on a trip that they had to New York, probably playing the Yankees at some point. And if you have yet to hear this, I thought this is why these two, not because Eckersley, I refer to him as the professor. Like, I learn when I hear him talk about baseball when he's doing these broadcasts. But it's this kind of stuff. Oh, this is the good stuff.
Hey, Eck, I just thought of that pitcher I hit the home run against.
Who?
Catfish.
Did you?
Yeah, he gave up a lot.
Oh, of course he did.
He gave up a ton.
Yeah.
He was right around the plate.
He didn't mind giving up a... No, I pitched against him. I gave up five. He gave up four. Nine bombs. I mean, that's what happened.
And, you know, I think I remember that.
Remember that game?
Yeah,
they dropped a Denny Disco on me, remember? Because I went to Studio 54 the night before or something. As if that had anything to do with it.
What do you mean he dropped a Denny Disco on you?
I dropped a five. I gave up five bombs that next day.
A big swing and a miss. Down goes Moreland.
You're not supposed to tell anybody we went to Studio 54.
Yeah, but, you know, that was a big deal back then. It really was, right? I mean...
Well, it used to stand out in front because they had the doorman out there. And it was like, you had to be somebody special to get in there. Now, we got in because we played for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we got in. If we just went there with our normal, you know,
suits. You have to have almost a costume on to get in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get in. And then once you get in, your eyes, like, this big. It was like, wow.
Well, I mean, it's 9-0. Why don't we share some of those stories?
Yeah, I shouldn't even gone there. That's enough. I gave up five bombs. He gave up four. I made it to the eighth.
Denny Disco.
Denny Disco. Disco Denny. Whatever.
Disco Denny. There were some sights there, weren't there?
Oh, there was.
Oh.
That's back in the day. I mean, I was just a kid. Yeah, 23, 24 years old. Yeah. I was in hog heaven.
Hanley with a roller foul. I want to say Bianca Jagger was a big hit there at Studio 54.
You know what I used to see in there? That artist, the guy that painted those tomato cans, Andy Warhol.
Right. He was a regular.
You couldn't miss him. He's kind of an albino dude, right? If he's sitting there. I said, I know who that guy is.
I shouldn't have gone there.
I know. Let's we got to get out of there.
I really shouldn't have gone there.
Whatever.
I didn't see him.
You can't miss him.
I didn't see anything when I walked in by the time I get in.
Now, there was a little bit of awkwardness there, if we're being honest, from Dave O'Brien, who, when it comes to those two, and you know that they saw some debauchery there. Because, again, Studio 54, in case you don't know, it can be summed up in three words. Disco, sex, and cocaine. That's what went on in that place. Watch some documentaries or read about it. And frankly, it looked amazing. And it was a free time back then. And Dave's like, I'm gonna bring up Bianca Jagger. Well, perhaps you'd like to tell some stories of Studio 54. And those two were probably looking at each other like, yeah, no, we can't talk about the fact that we were banging models in the bathroom. Because, I mean, again, that's the kind of thing that was going on in there, Studio 54. I'm projecting. But you could tell from the laughs from both Remy and Eckersley as they're reliving their trips to Studio 54, they saw and did some incredible things. Probably a lot of debauchery there, too. So credit to them. And I love that. Like, there's not enough of that. It was such a treat to have Remy back in the booth this weekend as well. So obviously wish him well as he battles cancer and hope that he is back quicker than ever, because I've had it with the, oh God, who have we gone through in the booth this summer with this team? We've had, help me out here, McCone.
We got Johnny Gomes.
Johnny Gomes, who I grew fond of. Gomes, I couldn't deal with at first, but Gomes actually would give you little nuggets here and there. And because he's such a wacky guy that, you know, recently I've come around. Gomes has been okay. Jared Saltalamacchia is just a human mannequin, does nothing for me, no emotion. Who else? Lenny DiNardo, another one as well. Yeah, like I need Remy back, I need Eck back. Beetle refers to Eckersley as blank check. It's true, that's who he is. He should just show up and say, you know what, here's my price, and Nesson should just give it to him. He should be in there every single night, because on a slow night or the game starts to be a blowout or they get nothing else to talk about, you could potentially get great stories of Studio 54 and those guys seeing Andy Warhol and God knows what else in that famed New York nightclub. I loved that. I absolutely loved that audio. We'll come back after this. You want to join the show? It's been kind of light tonight, if we're being honest. Again, it's kind of a weird time of the year because people know this Red Sox team is going to make the playoffs. Maybe the expectations aren't all that high. You tell me, because it just feels like we're just waiting. We're waiting to get to playoff time. I know that's how I feel. Not that you can't get too cranked up about an Oakland A's series right now, right? But you tell me. 617-779-0985. Is it about low expectations for this team? Because they kind of do need to prove it to you, right? I'm with you if you feel that way. The Red Sox do need to prove it. After that great juggernaut year that they have in the regular season last year, and they get into the playoffs and get swept in three games by the Indians, yeah, they're in a prove it to me and prove it to you mode right now.
Baseball. With Tony Maz, 98.